Okay, so we are on the Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. We're going to be finishing the Perek, hopefully in a couple of days' time, and we will then do Chazara of what we've done since the beginning of Zman, and then Be'ezus Hashem begin the fourth Perek, Mitzvah Hashem. Very exciting. So we're on the Gemara of the Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. Let's have a look at the Gemara. It is on the seventh line. We started this piece of Gemara. Let's continue right now. First word on the line, Ki Oser Rav Dimi. In order to understand this, let's just remind ourselves once again that we had a machloikis on Omid Aleph. What's the machloikis? Well, a machloikis between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbonon. And that is, can you bring proof to Beis Din to prove your innocence after you claim that I don't have any proof? That was the machlokes. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, yes, you can. You can always bring proof. The fact that you said, I don't have any proof, is irrelevant. The reason why you said it is because you clearly, genuinely thought that you didn't have a proof. And now you've discovered a proof. You've discovered Edim, or you've discovered a document. So you can always bring it. Reprove your innocence, and we would now then be soiser es hadin. What does that mean, soiser es hadin? We would then cancel the din, even though the dayanim had previously paskened that he's guilty. We would overturn that. However, the rabbonon disagreed, and the rabbonon said, once you've officially declared that I do not have a proof, either a shtar or edim, you cannot afterwards bring a proof. Why? Because we don't know that he's lying, but we certainly have to suspect so. If you announced emphatically that I do not have a proof, and all of a sudden you show up with a proof, that at least raises the alarm bells, and we cannot be soimach on that anymore. What did we paskin lahalacha? In that particular case, that's called raya achroino. What does that mean, raya achroino? It's the case of raya, and it's achroino because it's the last one in the Mishnah. And the Gemara, we saw this in Amud Beis, says, in Raya Achroino, we do not paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Even though normally we do paskin Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, there are one or two exceptions. This is one of them. And therefore, the halacha would follow the Rabbanon, in which case the halacha is you cannot bring a proof afterwards to prove your innocence. That is the Gemara that we said on Amud Aleph. And with that, we now see the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Ki Oser Rav Dimi. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Dimi comes along from where? From Eretz Yisrael. He came to Bavel and he said the following in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. La'olam mevi raya. A person can for always can always bring a proof. V'soiser. In order to annul, to overturn the previous judgment. Ad sheyistosem ta'anoisof. What does that mean? Ad sheistosim ta'anosav, literally translated, until his tainas become stopped, which Rashi explained means until such point that he says, I do not have a proof. Now, the problem is, how do you continue this braisa? So it says, V'yoymar, but then he can say, Kirvu ployni uployni v'hiduni. I'd like to bring in so and so and so and so in order to give Eidos. Now, doesn't that sound inherently contradictory? It seems to be an absolute steer because the braisa in the beginning says that you can only overturn the din until such point that he's soisim ta'anosoi, which means until he says, I don't have a raya, I don't have a shtar. So it sounds like until that point, but after that point, it's too late. Whose opinion is that? Sounds like the opinion of the Rabbanon. That once you say that I don't have a shtar or I don't have edim, that's it. You can't overturn that. But then in the very next words, what did you say? That he can afterwards say, I'd like to bring pliny or pliny to testify. Ah, so you can bring edim. All of a sudden, that sounds like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion. So we have a contradiction. Mineu be. And that's what the Gemara asks. Says the Gemara, ha, gufa kashya. This is inherently difficult. Why? Omrit, you said on the one hand, quote unquote, yistosim ta'anosav. that his taina has been stopped because the minute he said, I don't have any further proof, that's it, it's all over. So whose opinion is that? Awesome, we have arrived at the Rabbonon, at the Rabbonon's opinion. Sounds like you're paskin like Rabbonon, which is that once you've been sosem ta'anosav, once you've said, I don't have a proof, that's it, you can't now backtrack. Problem is, v'hoda omrit. But then immediately you went and you said, quote unquote, kirvu ish pleini u pleini v'heiduni, let me bring some other people to testify. So it sounds like, oh, you can bring further proof. Also, l'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, question mark. Now it sounds like we've arrived at the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So could you please make up your mind? Do we go with, is this Braisa going with Rabbonon or is it going with Rav Shimon Gamliel? V'chi tema, this is where we're up to. V'chi tema, and if you say, you might suggest that maybe we're reading the Braisa wrong. And the way you've got to read it is as follows. V'chi tema, you might say, no, really, kula Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The whole Braisa is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, not that the first line is the Rabbonon and the very next line is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That wouldn't make sense in the very same sentence. What's going on? So you might suggest that really the whole thing is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And how would you read the Braisa? Upirushei komafarish. And really the second line is just an explanation of the first line. And you've got to read it as follows. My ad sheyistosim ta'anoisov. What does it mean until you've stopped your taina? Not like we previously understood, until such point that you say, I don't have proof, and then it's game over. No. It means ad sheyoymar kirvu pleini pleini veheiduni. The din is final unless you indeed then suddenly all of a sudden announce, but actually, I do have proof after all. So there's no stira between the Reisha and the Sefer. When in the Reisha it says, you're sosim ta'anosav, sosim ta'anosav means your taina has finished unless, of course, you bring further proof. So the whole thing could be going with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, why is that problematic? Even though the Braisa is very neat. But we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Didn't we say 3 minutes ago that in the case of Raya Achroino, this is the case, we don't pass Rav Shimon Gamliel, so it doesn't really help me to say that the whole Braisa, it's all going according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, but we don't pass like that. Why would the Braisa bring this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Ha'omar Rabba Bar Rav Chanon, Rabbi Yechanon. Not the Braisa, sorry, this statement in the name of Rabbi Yechanon. Didn't he say, Kol Mokoim Sheshono Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Mishnah Seinu? Whenever we have learned about the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in our Mishnah, Halacha Kamoisoi, the Halacha always is like him, Chutz, Mi Orev, which is a case not relevant to us, Tzedon, another case not relevant to us, this case is, the Raya Achroino, question mark. It says the halacha always follows Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, except in the case of Raya Achroino, which means the halacha is not like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So how could you interpret Rabbi Yochanan's statement? As in, it's all following Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, when Rabbi Yochanan himself said that we don't paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So it seems totally bizarre that you would just issue a statement that's following the psak of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel when he himself told you that we don't pass Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So something is clearly very wrong. Either we've misunderstood what he meant or he was misquoted. So the Gemara says, indeed, one of our favorite words, Elo. Elo is a backtracking. Yes, there was some mistake. We obviously clearly misquoted exactly what Rav Shimon Gamliel, exactly what Rabbi Yochanan has said. Elo ki aser Rav Shmuel by Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is now the correct version of events. This is the correct version of what Rabbi Yochanan said. Not the previous statement, which is either a contradiction or it's going out of Shimon Gamliel, we don't pass like that. Something did not make sense in the original version. Hello, we must backtrack. And in fact, it turns out that we now have the amended version of what Rabbi Yochanan in fact said. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? La oilom, mevi, raya, a person can always bring a raya. The sosa to overturn his taina ad sheyistosem ta'anoisov. Until he formally stops his tainas. How so? As mentioned before, by saying that I don't have a proof. I don't have shtar, I don't have edim. Once you say those words, it's all over. Okay, excellence. That means whose opinion are we following? Not Reb Shimon and Gamliel. We're following the Rabbonon, and that is the Halacha Lemaisa. How does this carry on? Ad sheyistosem ta'anoisav, again, until he stopped his time as the Yomer, and he says, when they say to him, Hove Eidim, v'omer, ein li Eidim. Or they say, Hove Raya, v'omer, ein li Raya. Once you say those magic words, ein li, it's all over. That's called you a sosem ta'anoisav. That's called you've stopped your taina, and at that point, it is a point of no return. Excellent. That is the correct version. That is following Rabbonon. But he carries on now. Avol, there is one exception. There is one exception. Again, we have a rule. We have an exception to the rule. The rule is, and we're going with the opinion of Rabbonon, that once you said ainly, once you said I don't have a proof, you cannot now backtrack. If all of a sudden you show up and you say, oh, actually I do after all, sorry, we cannot accept that. But there's one exception. Avol ba'u eidim mimedinas hayam. If eidim came from abroad, from across the sea, then we would accept them. Why is that case better?
Didn't know about it.
Because it could well be, and here, therefore, it's not suspicious, he didn't know about them. I had no idea that there's Edim in South Mongolia who happened to witness this particular case. Or, we can explain a little bit differently, maybe I was aware that there are Edim in South Mongolia, but I didn't dream for a million years that these Edim were coming back. So when you asked me, do I have proof? And I said, no. Again, either I didn't know that there was Edim in the other end of the world, or even if I did, I had no havam, and I never thought for a moment that they're going to come and testify. Ah, so when they suddenly show up, we say to them, excuse me, didn't you say that you don't have Edim? Very suspicious that all of a sudden you do. And he says, to be perfectly honest, no, it's not suspicious at all. I genuinely thought I didn't have Edim. Either they don't exist or that they were never going to come. So in that case, that's the exception to the rule. There is now another exception to the rule. Alternatively, she'ahoyso diskio. What's a diskio? Rashi says it's a bag made out of leather, some type of leather bag, in other words, a satchel, a case, whatever. Shel oviv, that essentially began to belong to his father, mufkedes, that was deposited biyad acher. It was for some reason not sitting in the father's, presumably the deceased father's, it was not in his possession. It had been deposited elsewhere. In that case, hareze mevi raya v'soysa. In that case, you would be allowed to bring a raya to overturn a previous din. Once again, what would the logic be? Presumably similar to the first case. I have no idea, I'm not expected to know about my father's documentation, which is not even left behind in his assets. So when the father passed away, it may well be that we're assuming that the children now take over and they have to know, go through all the documentation. But how on earth was I supposed to know, says this fellow, how's he supposed to know that his deceased father had actually deposited documentation for some reason with somebody else? So when you asked him, do you have any further proof? And he said, absolutely not. He genuinely had no clue and was not expected to know that there was a shtar for some reason, somebody else was holding it. So therefore, when all of a sudden he shows up and says, guess what? I've got a proof after all, a shtar. Well, why didn't you bring it all along? Well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't know it existed. Why not? Very suspicious. No, this is not suspicious. When the father deposited shtar with somebody else, there's nothing suspicious about that. Says Rashi, diskio, sack, shel oir, a bag of leather. I guess that's some pouch in which you'd keep documents. Shahayu shtaroisav shel aviv, that the documents belonging to the father, munochin boy, were placed in it. Okay, so we can press now pause, and it now makes perfect sense. There is no stira, there's nothing unclear. He was absolutely going lahalocha, which is according to the Rabbanon, which is there is a rule, a golden rule, although we've now seen that there's an exception to the rule. Two exceptions. What's the golden rule? Once you utter those fateful words, when you're asked, do you have any edim? And you say, no, I do not. That's it, game over. There is no recourse. That is a point of no return. You cannot now all of a sudden show up with edim because that arouses suspicion. And even if you would bring edim or a shtar, we would not accept it. There are, however, two exceptions. Exception number one is in the case where edim came in Medina Sayam. I had no idea that edim would come from America, so that's not suspicious. Number two, I had no idea about the shtar because the father, the deceased father, had apparently deposited it with somebody else. I can't be expected to know about that. So in those two cases, yes, he would be allowed to bring a shtar or edim, even though he had already emphatically stated that I don't have a shtar. But the general rule is, once you say those magic two words, ainly, I don't have, that's it, it's all over. Says the Gemara, we now continue, and this is now going to be the last sugya, making our way towards the end of the perek. Omar ki oser Rav Dimi, Omar Rav Yechanan. Essentially, this is not really connected to the previous Gemara, and I guess the only reason why it's mentioned is because, once again, it's in the name of Rav Dimi b'shem Rav Yechanan, and very often, as we know, the Gemara does this sometimes. But if it quotes one statement in the name of a particular Amora, then it might quote something else in his name as well, even though it's not actually related to what we just discussed. Says the Gemara, ki oser Rav Dimi, Omar Rav Yechanan. Ha-toikef es chaveiroi bedin. What does that mean, ha-toikef? Toikef literally translated means to attack. Ha-toikef means to attack. So what does it mean, he attacks his chaveiroi bedin? So have a look at Rashi. Ha-toikef es chaveiroi bedin, says Rashi. Baal din kosher. He's a difficult Baal din. Reuven and Shimon are having a machloikos. Okay, that way it may well be. But this Reuven is proving to be a very difficult personality. Umatriach es chaveroi. And he's really bothering his friend. We don't know who's in the right, who's in the wrong. But one thing we do know is this Reuven fellow is a difficult chap. And he's bothering Shimon. Ve'ein roitze chaveiroi, and now Shimon does not want lodun kan. He does not want to go to the local bezdin. Elo l'mekoim va'ad talmidei chachomim harbe. He wants to go to a larger bezdin where there are many talmidei chachomim. Why does he want to choose to go there? So that this other fellow should be embarrassed. In other words, Shimon says, I don't like the code of conduct. I don't like Reuven's behavior. He's being very aggressive, very tough. So maybe, you might remember we've discussed this much early on in the Masechta, every town basically had a local bezdin of three dayonim, which under most circumstances suffices. There are occasions, as we have already learned, you need a bezdin of 23, sometimes even a bezdin of 71. So under ordinary circumstances, I cannot demand that we schlep to the bezdin agodo. to the base Vaad Lachachamim Mechateisa. There's a local Bezdin in town, and what's wrong with that? Yes, but in this particular case, I've got a reason that I want to drag you off to the further Bezdin, because there are more Chachamim there. Maybe you'll be embarrassed. And if you'll be embarrassed, maybe you'll behave properly like a mensch. As opposed to until this point, he's being toikev, he's being very aggressive, very attacking. Says the Gemara, look back into the Gemara. Hatoikev es chaveiroi bedin, when one fellow is attacking his fellow. In the din, echod oimer nodoin kan. One of them says, let's now judge this case, let's deal with this in a bezdin over here. And the other one says, no, I refuse to have this judged over here. I want to go to the Mokim of the Vad. As mentioned, the Mokim of the Vad is a place where there's many Talmid Chachamim. You might be there rather overwhelmed. You might be rather subdued. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Koifin oisoi, yes, you would force him. The yelech lemokoim havad. So in our example, Shimon has every right to force Reuven to go to the mokim havad, even though you might well think that, listen, surely it's Reuven's prerogative, say, we live in Bet Shemesh, and there's a local Bezdin in Bet Shemesh, which as far as I'm concerned, they're perfectly competent Dayonim. Yes, there are only, let's say, three Dayonim, but in our case, three Dayonim suffices. I don't really fancy schlepping off to Yerushalayim or HaKodesh to go to the base Vad where there are 23 Dayonim. Meanwhile, Reuven says, no, I insist we schlep off to the 23 Dayonim. There, maybe you'll get your act together, you'll behave appropriately, because I'm worried about you. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying that, yes, Reuven has that koyach, the koyfin oisa, and we would force Shimon, even though he doesn't want to do it, you have to go to Yerushalayim to the base Vat. That's what it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Yes, Rabbi Larry.
Is this opening up a corridor at all to say, I'm from Beit Shemesh, you're from Beit Shemesh, these people are your friends, I want to go to a more objective place? It's not only because...
Here we're talking about they're both Beit Shemesh.
What's that?
Here we're talking about they're both local.
No, I'm just saying, but does this, my decision to change the venue, does that open up now the corridor to say, if I feel that this is an unfair venue for any reason, it's your neighborhood, it's your local guy, whatever, then I have the right to do
that. That we had a sugya early on about Boira Bezdin, which we're going to learn again in Mitzvah Shem, we do Chazor Mitzvah Shem, well, actually, at least in part. That was the name of this whole parak, Zer Boira. This goes back all the way to Chof Gimel Omad Aleph, but yeah, Zer Boira. One can choose one dayan, one could choose the other. We had a whole sugya about how you actually go around choosing the Bezdin for exactly the reason you pointed out. Otherwise, each one could say, okay, well, I don't know, maybe you have good friends over here. Maybe you're connected. That was a previous sugya. But
what's the Chiddush? Then what's the Chiddush?
Because that wasn't the issue. Nobody claimed that. Nobody claimed that over here. That's not the issue. The issue over here is I just want to take you to a larger Bezdin than necessary. Not because I'm worried that you're friendly or anything like that. I just think you're being extremely aggressive, and I want to take you to a larger Bezdin, whereas Rashi said, maybe there you'll be embarrassed. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that's my prerogative. Very big chiddush. And we'll see, there's those who disagree. Says the Gemara, Omar Lefonov, Rabbi Elezer. Now, Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate this with you? So Rabbi Elezer said in front of him, he said, Rabbi, Mi shenoisha bechaveiroi mone, yoitzi mone almone, elokoifenoisoi vedon beiroi. How do you translate that, Rabbi Yosef?
Teacher, if someone has a claim on his fellow for a mone, shall he be forced to spend a mone in traveling expenses for the recovery of the money to which he is owed?
Right. In other words, Rabbi Elezer is saying, I don't accept your taina. You're worried that this Shimon is a rather aggressive personality, and therefore I want to drag him against his wishes to Yerushalayim or HaKodesh, and apparently you're telling me, yes, I can force him to do so. How can I force him to do so? I can force him? I'm claiming a money now. On top of that, he's got to pay another money in travel expenses. Can't be. And therefore, I disagree. Elo, koifin oisoi v'don be'iroi. Rather, to the contrary, not that we force Shimon to go to Yerushalayim, but rather to the contrary, we force Reuven to have the adjudication here locally. Have it locally. Why locally? Because that's my prerogative. That's my prerogative. To have a machlokes. And in fact, the Gemara says, Itmar Nami. We have this psak actually is mentioned. This, yeah.
Is the machlokes based upon the amount of money?
No, he's just giving a marshal, I think. It cannot be that it's my prerogative to schlep you off elsewhere, which would incur expenses. Now, what happens if I would say, fine, I'll pay for the travel?
Right.
I'll pay for the travel. So, yeah, so Rami said the Gemara is not machalik. And the Gemara just says that it cannot be that if you lent one money, you've got to pay for another money. So I'm not sure if he says, okay, don't worry, the money will be on me. So Tosis discusses this. Marshall has a whole discussion whether Tosis is correct. It's a whole big balagan. What happens if I say I'll pay the expenses? But either way, let's look back into the Gemara. Third last narrow line. Itmar and Nami, we have also learned this very similar statement. Omar Rav Safra. Rav Safra said, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Shnaim shenis atzmu badin. Two people who are fighting over a din. Echod oimer nidoin kan. Ve'echod oimer neilech lamokim havat. Oh, mamish the case that we just discussed. Seems to be mentioned in a brisa, the very, very case that we just spoke about, where one of them says, let's have this case judged here. The other one says, no, not at all. Let's go to the base of Vaad. Koifin oisoi v'don be'iroi. So there it is, explicit in the brisa, where no, you would force him and say, excuse me, you've got to have it local. If both of you agree to go elsewhere, that may be it. But as long as there's a disagreement about where to go, whoever insists that it should be local, he is necessarily the winner in that particular decision because that's his prerogative. Why should anybody be schlepped elsewhere? Ve'im hutzrach dovor lishoil. And in the event that something needs to be asked, what happens if you go to your local Beis Din and they need to now defer? They need to now ask a question of the larger Beis Din. Then fine. Koisvin v'sholchin. Koisvin v'sholchin. So they can write a telegram and send it off and wait for a response. There's no necessity to schlep them off elsewhere. V'im Omar. This is all a continuation of the brisa. V'im Omar. Kisvu v'tnuli, I demand that you write for me. Me'eze tam dantuni. Could you please explain for what reason that you judged me as follows and as follows? Okay, so we'll have to comply. Koisvin v'noistin lawyer. Yes, they have to write down and hand him exact, as it were, minutes of the meeting to explain why they came to the conclusion. Another halacha. V'hayavoma oyleches achar hayavom lahatiro. Now this is a different halacha. We know the case of Yibum. Somebody dies without children, so his brother has to now marry the wife, unless he does chalitza. Chalitza must be performed in a bezin, and that way she becomes muteres. As long as she has not done chalitza, then she cannot marry anybody. She is, as it were, tied to him. So who has to go to who? Does the Yavom have to go to the Yavomo? Or does the Yavomo have to go to the Yavom? They may live in different places. So the Gemara says, V'hoileches ha-Yavomo. The Yavomo has to go to wherever the Yavom is. If you want me to perform chalitza to you, and that way permit you to get married, you jolly well have to come to me. I do not have to come to you. Why is that? Says the Gemara, we learn from Apostle, V'koru loy ziknei iroi. This is judged by the elders of his city. We make a drasha, V'loy ziknei iro. and not Zikne Iro, not the elders of her city, but rather the elders of his city. So therefore, even though we had a discussion, could you just stay local? But over here, they live in two different places.
Rebbe? So
the Yavoma has to go to where the Yavim is, yeah.
What if he's the one that doesn't want to commit Yibum and convinces her to agree to Chalitza?
Doesn't matter. She is the one who needs him. He doesn't need her. She is stuck. She's tied to him. She cannot marry anybody in the world. And it's totally his choice whether he's going to marry her, which is called Yibum, which, by the way, the
Mishnah... Yeah, but if he says, you know, I don't want to marry her, is she stuck or is she just a little Chalitza?
Again, if he says, I'm going to do neither Yibum or Chalitza, then she's stuck. So the Beis Din will force him to do one of the two.
Okay, so now I'm a Yibum, right? I don't want to do Yibum. My brother has died, but I don't want to marry this
Chalitza.
Girl.
Do Chalitza.
Okay, so do I demand Chalitza? She still has to come to me?
Yes, because if she doesn't come to me and I don't do Chalitza, then she can't get married for the rest of the life. She's in Aguna.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we're going to hold it over here. Like I said, Be'ez Hashem, it's just a short sugya now to the end of the parak. It's not hard. So we're going to finish there. We'll spend a couple of days doing Chazara, and then Be'ez Hashem, maybe still by the end of the week, we'll have time to begin the new parak in Mitzvah Hashem.